On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to the Friday, the 14th of June, 2025 edition of your trusted news source on the radar with your host, Ndafa Happy Juju. It's the end of the week, and whether you are powering through your last shift, heading home to rest, or gearing up for the weekend plans, we've got the stories that matter right here on the radar. From the biggest political developments to powerful human stories, we're here to inform, empower, and connect you to what's shaping Namibia and the world. Here's what's coming up on today's news bulletin. Namibia prepares to host a historic Commonwealth Trade Ministers meeting for the first time outside London. We explore what this could mean for local businesses, investment, and our regional influence. Plus, we celebrate Namibian entrepreneurship with a spotlight on the changemakers redefining what it means to build a business with purpose. You're listening to On The Radar, your go-to platform for trusted news, sharp analysis, and untold stories. Be sure to catch us anytime through the Eagle FM mobile app, our website, or our nationwide radio frequencies. For on-the-go update, subscribe to the Villager WhatsApp service and stay in the know wherever you are. And before we dive into the headlines, a gentle reminder. It's okay to pause, to feel, and to rest. As we head into the weekend, remember that your mental health is just as important as your physical health. So be kind to yourself and to others. Now let's get into today's news bulletin. Namibia is set to make history as it hosts the Commonwealth Trade Ministers meeting at the accompanying business summit from June 16 to 20th, 2025, making the first time the Commonwealth Traders Ministers meeting will be held outside London. The landmark event is said to bring together over 300 delegates from all 56 Commonwealth nations, including government officials, business leaders, and regional and international partners. Under the theme, Fostering Resilience, Strengthening Intra-Commonwealth Trade and Investment Linkages, the summit will serve as a vital platform for enhancing cooperation and exploring new trade and investment opportunities across the Commonwealth. This year's gathering aligns with the broader Commonwealth vision of one resilient common future, transforming our Commonwealth, focusing on inclusive growth, digital transformation, food security, education, regional integration, and sustainable development. In a statement, Honorable Selma Ashipala Musavi, Executive Director or Director of Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, hailed the event as a historic milestone for Namibia and the Commonwealth at large. Namibia's strategic location, reach, culture, and commitments to international partnerships make it an ideal host for foster dialogue, promote intra-common health trade, and explore innovation solutions to global challenges, she said. A key highlight of the week will be the first ever Commonwealth Business Summit hosted in collaboration with the Namibia Investment Promotion Development Board, also known as NIPDB, Namibia Chamber of Commerce and Industry, NCCI, and other local business associations. The summit will provide an opportunity for private sector engagement, investment networking, and showcasing Namibia as a competitive investment destination. And with that, we have also reached out to David Namalenga, who is a business owner and an owner of Dina Parma, to speak about on Namibia hosting the Commonwealth Business Summit, as well as the Commonwealth Trade and Ministers meeting this coming week. Let's take a listen to what he has to say. Good afternoon, Mr. David Namalenga, and welcome to On The Radar News Bulletin.
Yes, my sister, good afternoon, and good afternoon, everybody, listeners, and Namibia as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Now, Namibia is set to make history as it hosts the Commonwealth Trade Ministers meeting and the accompanying business summit from June 16 to 2025. Now, from you as a business person, what does this mean for Namibia's economy to host the Commonwealth Trade Ministers meeting for the first time outside London?
Well, it's probably not only to me as a business person. I mean, it's really just to Namibia as a country. Mm. But of course, meeting alone is just really an important center for exposure.
Mm-hmm.
That you have people that are coming together into Namibia to discuss about what need to happen, how do we, you know, look at things from economic point of view end. So it's just an opportunity that Namibia is placed at the center of being a known nation.
Yeah.
But of course, the whole thing in the world is that when people are networking,
mm-hmm.
is an opportunity created to create capacity, to create linkages, and to create relationship that will result in an economic growth, that result in input, and that relationship will help the growth of the economy and the people of the world.
Absolutely. In what ways do you think local businesses stand to benefit from the presence of over 300 delegates from 56 countries?
You see, that is what is called immediate benefits.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't fall for immediate benefits. At Dinapama, we are making bags,
mm-hmm.
for the event. But that is one thing. But you know what is really important is really when you are doing something, you know, transacting at a particular point is important, but what is important is really the linkages, that what are the relationships, what are the learning, what is that what will be helping what is called sustainable development.
Mm.
And I think that's really what is important. We, you know, missionary speaking, we must look at an event to say, how do people find opportunity in Namibia?
Yes.
How do we exploit this presence of these people from these nations to tell us what opportunity do they have? How do we get to engage? How do we do, you know, how we establish relationship on one-on-one? How do we find opportunities in the exchange to say, this country where we are, where will I be able to find an opportunity to bring home, to set up something, to get what I need? Probably an input in the processing of what we are processing. For example, us in the manufacturing sector,
mm-hmm.
what do you get? But, you know, I'm not ordinal in terms of transacting for the presence, like hotels that will have guests. They will transact. We have guests mm-hmm. that are coming in.
Of course.
So the people will be, the transporters will transport people. The restaurant will be, you know, people will be dining there, lunching there, and.
Mm-hmm.
But that to me is a one sort of thing. But the important is, how do we exploit who are present at the conference,
mm-hmm.
who are participating, how do we link, what are the business people, you know, what are the you know, when we are done, what will we get from it?
Mm. Those are good questions. Now, are there specific sectors that you believe Namibia should showcase or focus on to international investors at this summit?
You see, in most cases, my nature is usually in what is called targeted intervention,
mm-hmm.
that each one must understand exactly what is the best one can get out of this intervention.
Yeah.
So the best, what is that the best we can get in terms of relationship establishment, in terms of engagement? What is the best that we can get? Because at the end of the day, let's say I am from manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
But if I find a country which has my market,
mm.
What the best for the people of Namibia?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if there is a market that we can get. What if I found the input in that particular country? So what if I found machinery in that country that related to what we do? Because at the end of the day, we need to build the capacity. We trading is what we have been doing,
mm-hmm.
but when will we need to build the capacity home? We need to create an economy that is dealing with what is called value addition,
true.
Participating in a value chain,
true.
Product development, capacity development. That's what we need in exchange to say, okay, what do you have in your country? How do we exchange, you know, what do we have in terms of capacity? You also probably need in terms of technology. Which system do they have that we do not have that we can use to promote and enhance efficiency
mm-hmm.
in our country?
Mm-hmm.
You see, we often look at really the quick results. Quick results are not generational.
Yeah. Now, you spoke about value addition, and I do appreciate you bringing that on the table. Prime Minister Eliane Ngurayre has also been talking about value addition to our local businesses. Now, do you think local businesses or local entrepreneurs are able to add value to what they manufacture or produce by themselves? I mean, some of these things require machinery that is very expensive. How would you suggest the government intervene on a broader aspect to help local entrepreneurs actually add value addition to their products?
You see, first, citizen must really declare to say, what do we want? What do we want to do? Because you can be given machinery. Government have been giving machines to people, like equipment aid scheme that was with the Ministry of Trade.
Mm-hmm.
Many of machines are abandoned.
Mm.
And for many reasons, some in what the Namibian people supposed to consume and they push for the capacity development, they choose to go outside. And this noble initiative is let down just as a result of less demand, less exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what it is. But machinery, even if they are expensive, we need to. Government will also help those who are helping themselves.
True.
Government will meet those who are. But you need to present yourself. You need to look for what you want. You need to talk to government to say, I am here. Find me here. Government must not look for you.
Mm.
So, but also. This opportunity, like as it created by government to bring these 30 whatever nations that are coming, you said 56.
56.
So this nation is an opportunity that government have created.
Mm.
So it's an opportunity, but it's not only that we are helped by government. Government must also, I mean, when government create an opportunity for us to talk. Government we must go to government and say, okay, I have a team of people that have machinery like this in this country,
yeah.
Who I want them to come in Namibia for 3 months, 4 months, whatever, to train our people on this machinery.
Mm-hmm.
The Ministry of Immigration and Home Affairs must be able to be amenable to allow, because like us here in Abama, you have machinery that are dying. Because when people are not properly trained, when the trainers are not allowed to come in, it becomes a problem. You are saying you are protecting a job, but the question is, which job are you protecting if Job cannot be there if the training is not properly given to the people.
If your people don't have the skills to operate those machines.
Yeah. So it's really not is you can. I don't know whether you have visited Dinapama.
I think I should.
You must be able to visit Dinapama and see. We have a couple of machines that need better utilization because of the limited skills. We are underutilizing it, but we are pushing. As we speak, we have a team. One of our young managers is now in Accra this week for training. They are doing a transformational under Stanford University.
Yeah.
So learning and exchanging to get to transform, but you cannot transform. You need somebody to come in who can help you to learn and understand how to operate particular machinery. You need the technology that we need, and you need this technology to be accompanied by people who are coming in the country to help you. You know, transferring this skill. We need to understand that, and we seem not to understand that things do not just come that way. Just like when you give the machine, you need to create also an environment that is conducive for business to thrive.
That's true. Brother David, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Radio News Bulletin.
No, much appreciated. We always are available. Just like continue extending an invitation to you, continue extending an invitation to Namibians that come and see, visit us at Dinapama, see what we do. Let us, you know, also those that are at the conference, let us refer people to businesses in the country so that people who, you know, let us cluster, put the 36 countries and say, okay, what do you have? You know, put up desks so that our people are able to speak to say, okay, where do I find this type of entrepreneur?
Yeah.
Where do I find this type of enterprise? Because business matching, you know, we cannot have it just to say there was a conference and the people have used the hotels, people have used restaurants and then nothing left behind. That is the old way of doing things.
Thank you so much. I agree with you on that one.
Much appreciated, and let us keep in touch.
Okay.
Let us encourage ourselves as Namibians to procure local. Let us add value. When people add value, let us criticize the product and with the aim to improve and move, not to destroy.
Of course. Okay. You're tuned into On the Radar News Bulletin. Let's take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back with you at more. You stay with us.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Ipurane ngeno wapungwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashikeka peno nweko tite okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuwana. Kono ngeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Mune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamweli nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etafimwe mbali hea hi nola natu. Heari bari no heari ime konderewa bra hetatu natu bari o hetatu atatu o mafilane egeleton the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hyundai at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. Education remains one of Namibia's greatest hopes for national transformation. And that message came through loud and clear at the stakeholder breakfast meeting held at Dagbreek's special school. Speaking to a room filled with diplomats, business leaders, educators, and community representatives, Minister of Education, Arts and Culture, Sanet Steenkamp, shared an ambitious vision for the future of our schools, our youth, and our creative industries. With more than 24 billion Namibian dollars allocated for education and innovation, and over 1 billion Namibian dollars directed towards youth development and sports. The minister described how this budget will aim to tackle urgent priorities from strengthening literacy and numeracy to building new classrooms, upgrading aging infrastructure, investing in teacher training, and pushing forward with digital transformation. But beyond the numbers, what stood out was a call for shared responsibility, a reminder that the future of our learners, and indeed of Namibia itself, can be left to government alone. Let's take a listen to Minister Steenkamp as she outlines the plans, challenges, and hopes at this morning's event.
This is a moment for us to reflect together, to also challenge one another, to keep each other to account, and to build a common path forward. Our task as a ministry is not merely to manage education, or the quality of education to be improved, or to oversee youth, sports, arts and culture. But it is indeed, if you look at it, we have the challenge of transforming a generation. And the anchor of Namibia's development for its unshakable foundation it must be for its people. Ladies and gentlemen, our ministry, education, innovation, youth, sports, arts and culture, we are called MESAC. MESAC is education, is onderwijs, is kuns, cultuur, sports en jeugd, maar so ook ISAC. So saam is dit MESAC. So don't forget our abbreviation, MESAC. So MESAC, truly, if you look at it, we are at the heart of human capital development. The six portfolios in this one ministry, which we have embraced and which we are busy synergizing, which we are busy integrating in terms of staff members and structures and budgets, this ministry is not just where people and policy intersect. But this is also where our vision needs to be executed. And we need our stakeholders to assist us. It is where resources must truly result in measurable transformation. And we do not operate in silos. It's the first thing that I said as a ministry. Nobody must come and say, that's not my job, that's not my mandate, oh, that's not my responsibility. Our job, Honorable Governor, is to make sure that while we are experts in our respective fields, we are also knowledgeable and we have equal access to input and ideas and innovation and creativity into other departments, directorates and divisions. We carry truly a cross-cutting mandate that touches the economy, and that's why we have the business, the private sector, the captains of industry here. Our mandate touches the economy, the labor market, the home, the village, the art stage and the sports field, and the digital future. We are not in business of schooling alone. It's not just about schooling and basic education. It's about truly shaping minds and unlocking the potential, promoting social cohesion and positioning Namibia in its local context with its people for global competitiveness. Our country faces major social and economic headwinds. You will all agree with me on that one. But we also have enormous possibility. And the possibilities, they are right in this room because they understand what it takes to honor potential. In that space between challenge and hope, that is our mandate. I visited the South a week ago, Marintal and Hadap, and I came back with so much hope. I also realized there's so much to be done. But if anybody would ask me, how would you, in one word, describe your visit, I would say hopeful. Because I saw people who have the bare minimum at schools, who were beautifying their schools by planting, by having gardens, by feeding the children. I saw community members walking distances to go and cook for children. I see school boards and councils actively engaging to find solutions for the opportunities that are presented through the challenges at these schools. I saw southern campuses, VTCs, the potential for gas and oil industry at Kipmansworth VTC, phenomenal. So there's hope. And I want you to run with us with that hope so that we translate hope into tangible actions. We don't want to do it alone. We also don't need to do it alone. I need all your brilliance. We need all your brilliance in your mind, in your commitments to do that. We are called to bring dignity to the Namibian child, relevance to the Namibian classrooms and lecture halls.
Let's pause here for now and make room for a scheduled commercial break. When it's over, we'll be back with this particular news item. So stay with us and don't go anywhere.
Taking flights has never been easier. Piratus is introducing SkyFi internet packages with speeds that will have you reaching for your seatbelt. Starting from $500, excluding VAT, per month, with speeds reaching up to 10 megabits per second. There's even a prepaid option where you can top up your SkyFi internet for just $15 per gigabyte. No contracts, no fuss. Visit your nearest Piratus branch to find out more. Or go to piratus.africa/Namibia to sign up online.
Welcome back. We resume with what Minister Sanet Steenkamp had to say at today's breakfast engagement.
Power to the Namibian youth and a voice to the Namibian creative spirit. This is sacred duties and a heavy weight that's put on our shoulders. Ladies and gentlemen, the Government of the Republic of Namibia through MESA continues to place education and the development of its people at the center of national development. In the recently tabled 2025-2026 national budget, two strategic votes were allocated to this ministry, and next year there will be only one vote. Vote 40 was for education and innovation. That comprises basic education and also higher education and innovation. That's vote 40. And the second vote, vote 27, is for sports, youth, and national services. The budget allocation to vote 40 is 24,827,230,000 Namibia dollars and represents 23.4%, my apologies, of the national budget and 8.9% of our GDP. International benchmarking says that you must spend at least between 15 to 20% of your national budget on education. We far exceed that. We serve 2,036 schools and close to 900,000 learners, not even getting to the students at the higher institute of learning. Last year, 2022, there were more than 80,000 students in our higher institutions. That's the constituency. We have, with private schools, 33,000 teachers. With the 296 private schools that we do have, we are not competing. We are complementing each other. There's space for everyone in this country, as long as we work together. This budget allocation, as I said, surpasses the 20% national benchmarking. And this vote is aimed at addressing access and equity, quality in education, but also strengthening foundational learning. We have and we will launch a learning poverty campaign end of July, where we really want to end learning poverty, where we want to improve the literacy and the numeracy rate of our junior primary phases, so that every child in our junior primary phase will be able to read and comprehend a simple English sentence, but also know how to count already in junior primary. If we don't strengthen the foundation, that's why our slogan, our branding is foundations first, excellence always. If you've got your foundation right, then we can build. So we want to have really skills training in our resource schools. We want to drive innovation and digital transformation in all our schools and tertiary institutions. Of this 24 billion, 4% goes towards infrastructure development. I spoke to Ms. Trudy this morning and she said she visited all the schools at the coast and asked the principals, what keeps you awake at night? And they were saying infrastructure development. Schools are getting old. Maintenance, the basic education facility funds that we transfer to the regional councils are not sufficient. Sewage problems occur, pipes burst, minor renovation that was supposed to, or maintenance that was supposed to be done turns into major renovations. Those are the realities. All right? So 4% of this 24.8 billion is allocated to capital projects, to construction and renovation, and emergencies. For the 2025-2026 financial year, in terms of vote 27, we've received an allocated amount of 1.2 billion. This represents a 46% increase from the previous financial year allocation and really underscores government's commitment to youth empowerment and sports promotion and development. These allocations signal indeed government's intent and political will. Yet, you will agree with me, ladies and gentlemen, that no government, no matter how competent and efficient, can achieve transformation on its own. We need each other. And this gathering is therefore a call to foster your understanding and our own understanding around what should be done, to foster a common understanding, but also a call for close collaboration. We are here merely to present how our public funds have been allocated across our strategic programs, and also to highlight areas that require collaboration, collective solutions, and investment and innovation. Everything is not just about funding and money. We need your skills. We need your technical expertise. We need your guidance, your advice, your support. And we wish to foster trust and cooperation with you, with the public, with our households, with our families, with our parents. You are, all of you present, and those who could not make it, our invaluable partners of MESAC. We want to deepen collaboration with all sectors of society, private enterprise, civil society, development partners, faith-based organizations, community leaders, our parents, and the broader public to co-invest in the development of our children. We need mentoring, we need coaching. It's not just about the funding. It's about your expertise and your commitment. Ladies and gentlemen, the government blueprint sets out seven national priorities, and four of them directly fall under MESAC. That is quality education, sports promotion and development, youth empowerment, and creative industries.
Thank you. Now, after hearing Minister Sanet Steenkamp outline the ministry's vision and priorities at the Dagpriors stakeholder breakfast, many are left wondering how this ambitious plans will take shape where it matters most, in our classrooms and communities. To help break this down further, my colleague Ngilunanye Pieteres spoke to Ayesha Wentworth, the Director of Programs and Quality Assurance at the Ministry of Education. They discussed how the ministry intends to translate its push for stronger literacy and numeracy foundations into real change, how parents, teachers and learners will be meaningfully included in shaping education quality, and what immediate steps we can expect as part of this renewed focus.
We are now joined by Ayesha Wentworth, the Director of Programs and Quality Assurance at the Ministry of Education. Ayesha, would you like to say something to the listeners or say good afternoon?
Good afternoon, listeners, on this very cold, wintry day. Thank you very much for having me on the program today.
Okay, now, Ms. Wentworth, to start off our interview, you know, the minister talked about, you know, improving the reading and maths in junior primary, but test results are, you know, still poor. Now, what's the difference this time, and what's different this time, I mean, in how the plan will go forward and how the plan will actually work in classrooms?
Thank you very much for the question. You know, the ministry is not starting off from scratch. Since 2021, 2022, we've been implementing the Jolly Phonics program throughout the country. So we did in-service training for all teachers from grade 1 to grade 3. So grade 1 was in 2021 and grade 2 was in 2022-2023. So grade 3 training only happened this year now in January of 2025. So what we did last year also, we did an end of phase assessment where we assessed learners in grade 3 to see what, you know, what their literacy and numeracy competencies are. So in the area of literacy, we are already seeing an improvement in the grade 1 and 2 results where we have been implementing Jolly Phonics over time. And we're also moving to Jolly Grammar. What we've also done now, what we've also been able to do is that all teachers have access to the Jolly Monitor and Jolly Phonics app. So it is like a resource for them in those, in that foundational literacy classroom, that they can use, that will help them, that will support them, that they can monitor the progress of the children. So that is already an ongoing intervention, and we will now continue with monitoring that. We also have a lot of support from, shall we say, from other NGOs that are working with us in this area. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the Roger Federer Foundation, they have also been helping us in training of pre-primary teachers, which is the year now before grade 1. And they have basically trained all pre-primary teachers on the Child Steps program, which is sort of, it is aligned to Jolly Phonics so that the children progress from pre-primary to grade 1 with that knowledge already. Mm-hmm. It's also upskilling the pre-primary teachers. So that one is also for literacy, that we've been really working. That has been sort of the thing, because you have to first have the literacy down. Mm-hmm. And then the next step is when we go to numeracy. So now we are busy developing our numeracy intervention. We've already done regional visits. We've done assessments of how numeracy is being introduced. And now we are at the stage that we hope to introduce our numeracy intervention and training in the second semester of this year. And with the Roger Federer, for example, all of those pre-primary classrooms also have tablets that have been provided to them to be able to you know, monitor the children as well. And to the end, there is also professional development things for the teachers, readers, for the learners. So there's already a lot of work that has gone into it. And the ministries, these are very targeted interventions. You know, it's very specific. And we've trained the inspectors to also be able to monitor the implementation of our interventions. So yeah, really with the numeracy will also be very targeted, like we did with Jalephonics, and we would do national mass training over a period of time. And that is on the curriculum and the content side. But as you also know, the infrastructure for pre-primary is not necessarily enough for all children. So the ministry from an infrastructure perspective is also prioritizing the building of more pre-primary classrooms so we can absorb more children and that they have that 1 year of, you know, foundational exposure before they enter into grade one to also support them. You know, that will also improve on results when children have early stimulation and early exposure to education. Yes.
Now, in terms of the Ministry of Education, we do often hear that, you know, there are partnerships there and they are planning on making partnerships, but many do feel parents, teachers, and learners aren't truly involved in decision making. Now, how will the ministry make sure their voices are heard and included in shaping education quality?
Well, let me say our Education Act, which was enacted in October 2023. So it's still a little bit young and we are busy implementing and advocating for it, but it makes provision that every school, it's not a provision, it's a must. Every school must have a school board, right? And the composition of that school board must be majority parents and learners. So they should be the main ones, and the school board is there to make decisions about the school, and the act, you know, extensively outlines what are the functions of the school board in terms of improving the quality of the school, helping with the infrastructure, raising funds. There are various things that the school board is tasked to do in terms of supporting the school. And why we put learners on there is because, you know, we always say nothing for them without them. So the learner representative should also be there on the council. On the school board, sorry. Even before the promulgation of the new act, the ministry already developed the social accountability and school governance program, where we did national training also for school boards. So we did TOTs. And there's a training for the school boards on how to, you know, run the finances of the school, how to make decisions about the school, what are the processes they must follow. So really, you know, there's all this provision, and the act actually has an entire section that just speaks about what is a parent's responsibility towards education. So really, we just need to advocate more. We need to make parents more aware. And parents, I want to call on parents to be more actively involved. That is one of the challenges that we have, is that parents are not coming to the parents' meetings, are not, you know, engaging with the school. So if parents come on board, then, you know, they are actually the ones that are supposed to be guiding the direction of the school. What do they want to see in their school and the community around the school? The ministry also developed a program called EduCircles, which looked at extending the governance structures in the school beyond just the SRC or the LRC. You know, so that all the grades also have representation. They perform an EduCircle from the different grades, and where they identify challenges in the school, where they identify problems that they want to fix, they come up with, they have a mentor teacher, they come up with solutions, and they are the ones who then also report to the SRC or the LRC or whoever is representing the learners in the school board. So that also makes part of the decision, so that it's not just the LRC that's there, but that all children are part of the governance and the maintenance of their school. Mm. Yeah.
Now, going back to the meeting which was held today, one of the key messages today was, you know, about strengthening foundations in literacy and numeracy. Now, following this meeting, what immediate actions can we expect to see from the ministry to turn that vision into a reality?
Well, I mean, I think, as I mentioned before, we are already busy turning that vision into a reality. Mm. I think the most immediate action we have now is to really start on our numeracy intervention, because we've done a lot of focus on literacy. So now we need to shift to numeracy, and really start doing some in-service training with our teachers. That would be the one thing that we really want to do immediately. And then also, that will be the first thing we do now. And then also doing a little bit more advocacy around the implementation of the Jolly Phonics and monitoring and evaluation of that. Mm-hmm. Because we now fully rolled that one out. So now we need to go and see, is it being done properly and all of that? And, you know, maybe give some support and refreshers where we can see that, you know, there are some challenges.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, then that would be the end of our conversation. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Have okay. a nice day.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's now pause here for now and take a trip to the marketplace. Remember, you can also be part of the news bulletin. That is by dialing on 083-288-401.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Any person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now, in other news, the European Union has updated its list of high-risk countries for money laundering and terrorism financing, and Namibia is now among the countries flagged. This means transactions involving Namibia will face tougher scrutiny as EU banks and financial gatekeepers apply stricter checks under the fifth anti-money laundering directive. The move aligns with international standards set by the Financial Action Task Force and aims to protect the EU's financial system from illicit funds. To unpack what this means for Namibia and the wider region, my colleague Joseph Jeremiah spoke to financial analyst Salomo Ipinge, who shared his insights on the matter. Let's hear what he had to say.
Good afternoon to you, to all listeners. This is Joseph Jeremiah speaking on the radio, and today I'm joined by Mr. Salomon Ipinge. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Joseph. Thank you for having me on the radar today, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Yes. So today's discussion is based on the European Commission has added Algeria, Angola, Ivory Coast, Kenya, and Namibia to blacklist. These countries have appeared since February on a similar list published by the Financial Action Task Force, an international body that monitors efforts to combat money laundering. So with regards to you being an analyst, sir, what does this mean for Namibia's financial system?
Yeah, this really, and thank you very much for the question. And it's a very important topic that you are bringing across, because eventually we were going to see this financial system affecting Namibia or the country as a whole internationally or at an international level. The financial system in Namibia, based on my observation for the last 7 years or so, you will find that our financial system is not up to standard. Our financial system is corrupted as it is. And this is all because of a lot of the institutions, or let me say, rather the regulatory bodies that are appointed to regulate a financial system and industry, who I would really strongly believe that are a part of allowing this system to be as poor as it is, and not strengthened to the quality where it can prevent corruption, money laundering, etc. And really, what needs to be done in this aspect is Namibia is now well long overdue to change regulations and legislations, and to put up legislations, newer legislation in place, in order for us as a nation to combat this corrupt system, as well as this money laundering. And really, our country is a target by even neighboring countries or other international countries where they actually use our resources or our country as a form or as a part of doing corrupt and also really doing money laundering. I think really we are way overdue to set up systems. We are using systems that are or legislation or laws that were set up in the 1969, 1970s, and we may understand, you will understand that those laws were set up for a reason to protect a specific group of people. And so, yeah, I think in my opinion, our financial system is absolutely corrupted and needs to be revived as soon as possible.
So, sir, as African countries, we have developed that sense of always depending on European countries. So, how is this ranking going to affect Namibia's investment, as Namibia highly depends on the investment of EU countries in green energy, health, and blue economy?
It definitely affects the country's economy as a whole, from all angles. From the government aspect to the local enterprises and businesses, as we will find, especially to be trading internationally and to do to trade internationally, you will find that EU nations would be reluctant to do business with us because there is no that trust. So these international countries will definitely not wanting to engage in doing business with us. So I do believe that it does affect us negatively at all aspects, even from business perspective.
So as being a financial analyst, as per se, what recommendations would you give to the Bank of Namibia to improve the situation of being grey-listed?
Bank of Namibia is an anchor, a regulatory body of the economy of the country, and their intervention is crucial in ensuring, first of all, to set up laws, again, like I'm repeating, and legislation that are designed to function and protect and combat the purpose for which these laws are being created for. We are seeing some laws that are evolving, but we are identifying that some of these laws are created having loopholes, allowing for the system to still be corrupted, allowing for people still to be able to do corruption through the system. And mainly what we are identifying in the market is that institutions like regulatory bodies as Bank of Namibia are being influenced by the elite of the business enterprises. So for example, if laws are being implemented and are being passed on, you will find that these laws has a huge influence of the banking institution individual, where they are influencing these laws to still provide loopholes for corruption to still happen. So my advice is really that the people who are entrusted to be in these offices, that they do act faithfully and really, really cut off the influence of other parties or other institutions when laws are being implemented. But it is also, my advice is, it's also very urgent that these systems need to be implemented. They are all long, long, long overdue. They need to be financial system laws. They need to be consumer financial laws. These laws, they need to be updated, and they were long overdue. We don't have new laws that are implemented recently, and this is the only way we are able to combat this situation and be lifted off from that blacklisting list.
Lastly, sir, with regards to business, how is this going to affect the domestic business, which depends on external investors for operations?
Again, very, very negative impact, because international investors would not want to engage or do business with us or with our businesses because of that impact. I mean, there is just that fear that, you know, I could lose my money. No one wants to do business with somebody they don't trust if they are going to be receiving their money or not, because of the negative actions or influence that we are giving out internationally. So we are definitely negatively affected, even from CFOs. You know, you are dependent in doing brokerage business with international countries, and they would not want to do business with us. They would not want to invest in our countries because they of the security that they fear for themselves. So we are aging once again. The regulatory bodies and the responsible institutions that are entrusted to manage and regulate this industry to pull up their socks and really, really get to work.
Thank you, Salome, for availing time to have a say in this matter. We hope you have a blessed day ahead, and let's not forget to keep warm.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me. Thank you for your listeners.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. Bye for now.
With that being said, we pause here and we'll be back after the commercial break. Our studio line is also open. You can come through and air your opinions and contributions with us right here on the Reader News Bulletin. The studio, the number in studio is 083-288-401.
No matter where you are,
If you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Ipuramenge no wapogwa eva tere uliko ni mwando tuto ingida Ashike kapeno uwe kutite oko uwe eku kumile Oshasa fana nungeshe feli mehola mo Iho kike kovano hile koshuwana Onungeshe faa ya kumbo kukaraya kovano Akupitira mo Eagle FM otona evi toda njuka Akupitira oipindi konu konda doi nyawa Minuto o tukwetira o special ange Tashake ngeshe faa omarudi kayo loka Otonu ushe ingife nawa nukumuna oijamweli nawa Ninge pata famona, manuka ko Eagle FM, ondora tatime bali hea vi, nola natu, hea I bali no hea I ina ko derewa, murano tatu natu, bali otro tatu batatu, ona filane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back, and now for some economic indicators that are making headlines this very day. Starting off, the US dollar against the Namibia dollar is at 0.056. Meanwhile, the Swiss franc equals 22.15 Namibian dollars. The Chinese yuan equals 2.51 Namibian dollars. And for the Japanese yen for today, 1 Japanese yen is 0.12 Namibian dollars. The Australian dollar is standing at $11.67 Namibian dollars. And now moving on with other economic indicators that are making headline today. Construction output in Greece declined by 3.5% year-on-year in the first quarter of 2025, reversing a 23.6% growth in the previous quarter. Now, this marked first contraction since the first quarter of 2021, dragged by lower output in civil engineering at minus 9.9% versus 38.7% in the fourth quarter, and specialized construction at minus 4% versus 11.7%. At the same time, growth in building construction decelerated sharply at 4.8% versus 18.9%. Now, Botswana's annual inflation rate is to 1.9% in May 2025, the lowest since December of 2024, from 2.3% in the previous month. The slowdown was driven by the decline in prices such as transport at minus 2.2% versus minus 1.6% in April, and housing and utilities at minus 0.3% versus 0.9%. Price growth also slowed for alcoholic beverages and tobacco at 6.4%, versus 7.4%. Food and non-alcoholic beverages at 5.8% versus 5.9%. Clothing and footwear at 3.7% versus 4.1%. Health is at 2.2% versus 2.3%. In contrast, inflation edged up for furnishing, household equipment and maintenance at 2.7% versus 2.6%. Recreation and culture at 2.6% versus 2.5%, and communication at 0.2% versus 0.1%, while it remains unchanged for education at 2.6%. On a monthly basis, consumer prices fell by 0.1% in May, the first decrease in 8 months following 0.8% gain in the previous period. Now, agricultural commodities, top commodity gainer for today is palm oil at 1.46%, rubber at 1.19%, and sugar at 1.06%. While metal commodities, platinum is the commodity loser for today at minus 1.66%, and copper at minus 1.32%, with gains being led by gold at 0.91%. France's annual inflation rate eased to 0.7% in May 2025, confirming initial estimates, and down from 0.8% in both March and April. This marked the lowest reading since February 2021, driven by a slowdown in services inflation at 2.1% versus 2.4% in April, and a steeper decline in energy prices at minus 8% versus minus 7.8%. Meanwhile, food prices rose slightly faster at 1.3% versus 1.2%, while prices of manufactured goods at minus 0.2% and tobacco at 4.1% were unchanged from April. Now, on a monthly basis, the CPI fell 0.1%, marking the first decline since the last November. And now for a short commercial break.
Lipuramenge no wapuwa eva tere urikoni mwando tuto ingida Ashikeka penuwe kutite okoe ekupulile Oshasa fana nongeshefeli mehola mo Iho otike kovano hile koshuwana Konongeshefa ya kumbo kukaraya kovano Kukupitira mo IKLFM otuna evi tota njuka Kukupitira oipindi konu konda.
Get to where you save your low-budget grocery store where good food costs less. 100 grams Nescafe Re-Coffee instant coffee at only $34.99 or 10 Tagless 5 Roses tea bags at $9.99. 1 liter full cream nut milk fresh milk at only $18.99. 500 milliliter Rietfontein Oshi Candela at $17.99. And 6 200 milliliter boxes of Rods 40% fruit juice blend to enjoy at just $44.99. You save, we'll save at You Save.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Art.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build? Why should we do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to be.
Part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Yeah.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Welcome to News Beyond the Borders. South African macadamia producers explore Asian markets amid proposed U.S. tariffs.
Jean Lihanya started planting macadamia trees in 2005 on a 2.5-hectare plot he bought in the picturesque Madibo Valley in Limpopo with his personal savings. 2 decades on, he has expanded his plantation and has produced 25 tons of macadamia nuts this year, ready for the export market.
Thank you so much.
As a farmer, our core focus is on primary production, and then we get our nut to our drying and dehusking facility. We do our preliminary quality tests. After that, what happens is that on an annual basis, the export factories that are within our area, they typically give a price offer because they've got direct links with the customer, with the buyer.
He plans to further increase acreage and output, riding on the ever-increasing global demand. However, Trump's drive to impose higher tariffs could impact access to macadamia farmers' second biggest market.
I'd always find myself, or we'd always want to find ourselves, trading in low tariff markets, meaning that, you know, it's money back into the farmers' pockets. The moment there's a 30% trade tariff, I think the figure I saw a few weeks back was that if Trump had to activate the 30% tariff, then we'd be paying close to 460 million rand worth of tariff at 30%. That's what a tariff means. That's half a billion rand out of our economy into the tariff.
Other South African farmers groups have also warned of potential devastation from the U.S. tariffs. Citrus growers, whose annual export to the U.S. average $100 million, have warned that tariffs could hurt South African citrus farms and could potentially affect 35,000 jobs.
It's a non-starter to probably think that a decision through America will hinder my plans. I feel that there's so much more we can do internationally or explore other markets. I mean, India has got 1.5 billion people that are also looking for macadamia. So there's always an alternative plan, but I trust that specifically with the U.S., I think that will be a matter that will be dealt with, and I feel in no time it will be business as usual.
Although the 31% U.S. reciprocal tariff on South Africa and dozens of other countries has been put on pause, Lihanya says he and his fellow macadamia nut farmers are still looking elsewhere for alternative markets. Muturi Kaibere, CGTN.
In regards to Eskom and faulty cables, Eskom resumes repairs in Midolands.
Flood again in Soweto as residents barricaded roads with stones and burning tires, demanding that the power utility restore electricity to the area.
I think we are not happy with about. They said the technicians are coming here at Mudise. There's nothing, there's no fault at Mudise. The fault is at Mupolo, where they said there's a cable theft.
The service delivery protest had a negative impact on some residents, with others unable to go to school and work.
I'm also affected because now I have to miss out on important lectures and classes because, you know, we cannot travel on these roads.
Eskom says after the roads were cleared, their technicians managed to gain access and the restoration efforts are on track.
We are pleased to report that the community of Midolands have ceased protesting and cleared all debris and removed road blockages in the area. As a result, Our teams have gained access and have resumed work on repairing the faulty cable. Restoration efforts are now back on track, and we are working towards restoring power as soon as possible.
Gauteng Police Provincial Commissioner Lieutenant General Tony Ntombeni say officials managed to restore law and order.
They have to take note that managing the public disorder, you have to apply what we so-called situational appropriateness, and the public order policing, it is in place in terms of managing that. In terms of the arrest, one cannot confirm. What I can confirm out of, because that is not the only place where we're dealing with these protest.
Were secured and no cases of malicious damage to property has been reported. Calvin Rula, SABC News, Netherlands in Soweto.
70 southern white rhinos arrive in Rwanda from South Africa.
From Nyana Conservancy in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa, a chartered Boeing 747 landed at Kigali International Airport early Monday morning. On board were a second batch of 35,000 white rhinos, a special and historic cargo. The animals were carefully offloaded and transported by truck nearly 150 kilometers to Akagera National Park in eastern Rwanda. Hours later, the convoy arrived at a secure boma in the heart of the park. One by one, the rhinos stepped out of their crates into a temporary enclosure. Officials said the operation was complex, and there was a delay of more than 2 weeks.
It's a really technical exercise that we're doing, taking 35 animals, 35 rhino from northern KwaZulu-Natal, and releasing them in Akagera. We did that in 3 days, and then we did it again 3 days later.
This translocation is so significant to the government of Rwanda in that it's the largest within the country, even beyond, for the white, the thousand white rhinos. It's not just being the largest, but also improves and grants trust that people have conservation for Rwanda, but also boosting our tourism, adding value to our tourism industry.
This translocation is the second of its kind to Akagera. In 2021, 30 southern white rhinos were brought to Akagera Park, also from South Africa. The population has since grown to 41. Officials are optimistic that the latest arrivals will boost genetic diversity and help create a robust population capable of supporting broader regional conservation goals.
We have now established in Akagera a very viable herd of rhino that can potentially rhino under threat across the planet, across the globe. It is fair to say that rhino in southern Africa are under great threat from poaching and illegal trade. Now that we have a herd established here, we will have it established in the coming months and years. This can always form, it can form a long-term gene pool in the event of a disaster elsewhere on the African continent.
This park actually can carry close to 1,000 southern white rhinos. So the capacity is not an issue. And we actually pray that this grows. We're not intending to bring in any, since this is a good population that can actually breed and then grow.
Akagera National Park spans 1,122 square kilometers. It is Central Africa's largest protected wetland and Rwanda's last refuge for savanna-adapted species. In 2015, Rwanda reintroduced lions into Akagera National Park. This was followed by the arrival of critically endangered black rhinos from Europe and now 1,000 white rhinos.
These white rhinos, they'll be kept in this boma for the next 6 months to acclimate themselves with the new environment. Given the previous translocations of black rhinos and lions from South Africa, these two are expected to thrive in their new environment. Ethan Toshoga for CGTN, Akagera National Park, Eastern Rwanda.
Mozambique eyes stronger trade ties at China-Africa Expo.
Thank you for talking to us on CGTN Ambassador. Well, the Expo is one of the most important economic and trade events between China and Africa. So how is Mozambique participating in the Expo, and what are your expectations?
Mozambique is going to participate with a very high-level delegation and with the business delegation. This is an opportunity for us to showcase our main sectors, to cooperate more with the business people here in China, and also to establish ties, to promote trade, and to attain new investment. And I believe that this time we're going to open new avenues that we can do more together for economic integration between our two countries.
Trade between China and Africa hit a record high of $296 billion in 2024. And China has also remained Africa's largest trading partner for 16 consecutive years. So, Ambassador, how would you evaluate their economic and trade cooperation in promoting modernization across the African continent?
Through this, the trade, Africa is benefiting because we are getting the transfer of technology. We are getting part of this globalized world for the new era of digital world. So through the trade and through the investment, the Chinese company that they are working in our countries, they are bringing the technology. They are bringing the good thing for our country. So also this is really a beneficial for our country to have the Chinese bringing their knowledge, their funds, and their technology. And also we have our side that we provide the minerals also that we provide, so which creating also a job for us and solving the instabilities that maybe we can have in our country. So it's a huge contribution, and we believe that trade openings of Africa also will benefit more, but we need to work more on the connectivity within the African country. We have to develop the joint infrastructure that can also benefit more, not only for the African country, but for the China, because through this connectivity, you enter Mozambique and can go to other countries. So if there's no connectivity here, so things, they may not move well. So we have to work more on infrastructure and bringing the countries together and for the integration to be better.
Tanzania focuses on job creation and industrial development amid investment surge.
A significant investment surge in early 2025, with 901 registered projects creating more than 200,000 jobs and foreign direct investment jumping 46.7% to $2.1 billion. Major projects include the Mkulazi Agricultural City, a large-scale agricultural investment project located in the Morogoro region of Tanzania, designed to transform the country's agricultural sector through commercial farming and agro-processing, as well as job creation, as well as the Kibaha, Texas Special Economic Zone, which are among the country's industrialization efforts. The International Monetary Fund is praising Tanzania's macroeconomic stability, with GDP growth of 5.5% in 2024 and projected at 6% in 2025, driven by export, tourism, and agriculture. However, inflation concerns remain, with food prices rising by 5.3% in January 2025, while the government emphasizes achievements like the Standard Gauge Railway, its flagship railway line project, critics point to income cost gaps, where average salaries cover only 55% of living costs, and political tensions due to opposition exclusion in elections. The ruling party touts economic success, but analysts stress addressing job quality and inflation amid global risk. Daniel Kijo, CGTN, in Dar es Salaam.
We shift gears to Kenya as Kenyans express concern over commodity prices ahead of budget reading.
As we approach another Kenyan fiscal year, Cabinet Secretary for the National Treasury and Economic Planning, John Mbadi, is set to present the 2025-2026 budget, estimated at 4.26 trillion Kenyan shillings. 1 year ago, Kenyans took to the streets in protest of the 2024 finance bill. The events of June 25th, 2024 left scars, anger, and even loss of lives as demonstrators opposed the bill.
Right now, from the budget that has been brought, the budget for 2025-2026, they have not increased more taxes out of the fear of what the repercussions of their actions. But other than that, other than the little fear that they have, they are confident because they have gathered themselves together once again, and now they are confident in their numbers.
The upcoming budget comes at a fiscal deficit of 4.5% of the GDP. The government has promised no new tax increases. Instead, it aims to improve tax enforcement and close existing loopholes.
Maisha imekuwa ngumu. Kwanza sisi wana biashara kama vile mimi natembeza chai hapa. Sukari ni kaumu inaenda 350. Faida tupati. Tunaomba rais wetu aangushe vitu bidhaa muhimu kama sukari, unga, mafuta. Tunateseka.
The impact on the daily lives of Kenyans remains a key concern. Fuel, electricity and food prices continue to be high.
Kwa bidhaa za kawaida za chakula, mavazi, unapata vitu kama mavazi za kuimport zinakuwa juu, hata mwananchi wa kawaida hawezi mudu. Na kitu kingine pia ningependa rais ajaribu kuangalia ni hizi vitu ndogo ndogo zenye wanaimport hapa kutoka nje zikikuja hapa Kenya. Wajaribu kuangusha bei, at least hata mtu unaweza fungua biashara na ujue ni kiwango gani ya ushuru unaweza lipa.
As the budget presentation approaches and with the anniversary of June 25th, 2024 looms large, Kenyans are paying close attention, whether online, in parliament, or on the streets, hoping for better representation, trust, and transparency.
Young Somali diplomats foster global cooperation through cultural exchange with China.
In the global community in marking the inaugural International Day for Dialogue Among Civilizations, a day set aside by the United Nations to promote cross-cultural understanding. Adopted unanimously at the 78th session of the UN General Assembly and co-sponsored by China and 82 other nations, the resolution signifies a united call to build bridges between cultures and civilizations. Among those marking the day were 20 young Somali diplomats who recently returned from a diplomatic exchange program. Gathered in Mogadishu, they tuned into a virtual address by Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi, eager to hear his message on this landmark occasion.
Africa's development challenges are formidable but not insurmountable. Through a strategic partnership like that between China and Africa and a commitment to sustainable and inclusive development, we can transform these challenges into opportunities, and Somalia, with its rich heritage and resource and resilient people, is poised to embark on this transformative journey.
Driven from their international experiences, the diplomats emphasize the role of cultural exchange in promoting peace, understanding and mutual respect.
We, the 20 young Somali diplomats who walk in the streets of Beijing and Hainan, we're not only observing history, we're revealing the shape of it. And what we saw was clear: the friendship between Somalia and China is deep, dignified, and ready for renewal. This is the relationship between rooted in trust, dating back to Somalia, early recognition of the People's Republic of China. It has withstood the test of time and distance, but now a new chapter is a beginning, a chapter written by the youth, shaped in a vision and guided by a mutual respect. We witnessed how diplomacy today goes beyond the emphasis on official meeting. It happened in classrooms, in digital labs, in cultural exchange, and in climate action. And all of this, the youth must lead not from the sidelines, but from the front.
Chinese President Xi Jinping's Global Civilization Initiative calls for respecting diverse paths of development, upholding shared human values, and deepening international cooperation and cultural exchange.
Last year, the United Nations General Assembly adopted the resolution proposed by China and co-sponsored by 83 countries, including Somalia, to establish the important day of International Day for Dialogue Among Civilizations. Actually, it's also a part of the our efforts to implement the Global Civilization Initiative.
India plane crash, one Briton survives the disaster.
London Gatwick Airport said the flight was due to land at 6:25 p.m. local time on Thursday, and a reception center has been set up at the airport for the relatives of those on board to provide them with information and support. Now, this is a fairly popular route, getting people from London to Gujarat, operating around 5 flights a week. And Air India's UK operations are in Birmingham, London Gatwick, as well as London Heathrow, operating a number of flights between the UK and India. Now, among the 242 people on board, there were 169 Indian nationals and 53 Britons, as well as 7 Portuguese and a Canadian, according to Air India. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer has said that the images that were coming out of the crash were devastating. He said that he's being kept in the loop about the situation as it continues to develop. And tributes have also been pouring in, including from King Charles and Queen Camilla, who said that they were desperately shocked by the crash and that their special prayers and thoughts were with the family members of those affected. The King also said he wanted to pay particular tribute to what he called the heroic efforts of the emergency response team, who were providing support at what he said is this most heartbreaking and traumatic time. Now, the UK Foreign Office is also said that it's arranged crisis teams in UK and in India, with Foreign Secretary David Lammy saying that the Foreign Office is working urgently to support British nationals and their families. Now, the UK Air Accidents Investigation Branch has also formally offered its assistance to India. It says the branch will have expert status in this Indian safety probe because UK nationals were on board the flight. It also said in a statement that it was deploying a multidisciplinary team to India to support Indian investigators. Laura Westbrook, SABC News, London.
And now we have come to the conclusion after this episode of On the Radar News Bulletin. To stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengue program brought to you by Patimoshala Lukoro and Bernadette Simon. Also, the Home Run Show at 16:30 will keep you company, brought to you by Dwight and Helmut. Now, from Indafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye. And should you be interested in listening to the sound of my voice, to tune in for live lessons tomorrow on Saturday from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours. Also, do stay tuned for our other weekend shows that we bring to you during the weekend. Now, with that being said, goodbye and have a wonderful Friday.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 01-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Ipurani ingeniwe wapendwa Eva tire mikoni mwondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno mweko tite okoe eku kulile oshasa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mwa ino otike eko vano ele koshuala konu ngeshefa ya kumbo kukaraya kwa vano wakupitira mwa Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka wakupitira oipindi konu panda doi nyawa minuto otukupitira o special ange kashake ngeshefa omarude kayo loka otuna ushendi fenawa nukumuna oijamweli nawa ningepata fanuata monika ko Eagle FM omura itatime bali hea vi nola natu hea ibali no hea ineko berewa mura itatu natu bali ofetatu wakatu oma filane Eagle FM bi ae
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who you know does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tear you off if it is needed to be
part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM. Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added great new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.